איפה אני אראה את זה עכשיו, תגיד לי?
Part of the public talk is for questions and answers. So if you have questions, please, I'll give you the mic. There are always questions in Israel. You just take a minute or two to warm up.
Can you elaborate, please, on the issue of raising children? We often have this sometimes there is violence between parents and children. Children misbehave. And parents spank, you know, sometimes there is no other option. This is not such a Buddhist behavior, you know. So I was wondering, there is a saying in Hebrew that if you sometimes if you are not harsh with your child, then actually you are not compassionate to him. So sometimes out of compassion you need to be hard on him. But how do you mitigate this?
Hard?
How do you mitigate it? How do you in yourself solve this attitude towards your child without actually making long-term damage in him? Because sometimes you need some, you see a child walking, starting to run to the street, or wishing to put his finger in the electricity in the wall. You need to educate him that this is actually extremely dangerous for him. And sometimes it turns like violence coming out of you, so he will understand how dangerous this is. How do you do that in a Buddhist way?
Yeah, I think it is important for parents to know the skillful means, the skillful methods to nurture the children. So it's important to have great affection, great love, and care to our own children. But at the same time, we should be a good model for them. I think it is important for us to have a good environment for children to grow. And to make this good environment, it is a parent's responsibility whether they can make this good environment or whether they can good environment means not only in your own home. You're in your own home, the parents should not argue or parents should not quarrel, etc. But also parents should have love and care to the children. And also externally, it is important to live in a better place, safer place, and where there's no violence, where there's no problems. So it's important to make, I think, a good environment in the family or in the house, or and also outside the house. So it's important to choose the right school. So it is parents who will choose these schools, especially when children are young. They don't have any suggestion. They don't have any choice. They will go wherever the parents will send. So I think it's important for parents to look for the good school, etc. And also, it is important for parents to spend time with children. I think sometimes parents are really busy just on making the livelihood better and to emphasize more on the material world so that they can live better, they can send their children in a better school, etc. For that purpose, parents are very busy and they don't have much time to spend with children and they don't have much time to influence the children. And if they don't spend time with children, then they will have lesser actual connection. And sometimes parents feel guilty if they don't have much time to spend with children. Then they give lots of gifts, presents, and that can spoil the children. And also, without the direct supervision of the parents, they can spoil, they can behave in the wrong way, etc. So I think it's important for parents not only to provide them a good facility, of categorizing the action is like body, speech, and mind action, or you can divide all the actions into three, like virtues, non-virtues, and indifferent action. Or there's other ways of categorizing the action, such as how to say fault action, the reflection of the fault action and faultless action and the reflection of the faultless action. So fault action is negative action. Faultless action means virtuous action. But then there's the reflection of the fault action, which means outwardly it looks like fault, it looks like negative, but actually, such action is not negative. That is called fault, the reflection of the fault action. And then there's a faultless action. I think I have mentioned in my talk that out of bad intention, in order to deceive others, you behave nice, you have a good verbal expression. So that action is the reflection of the false last action. It looks like good, but actually it's not a positive action, it's a negative action. So that's called the reflection of the false last action. Looks like faultless, but actually it's fault. So out of these four, what you are talking is, I think, belongs to the fault, the reflection of the fault action. In that category, it belongs to that category. So the reflection of the fault action means sometimes the parents need to scold the children. If you scold them with anger, with hate, then it's a fault action. But you scold them with a great affection, with great love and care. So with such thought, with such good intention, if you scold them or even you spank them, it be without having anger in your mind, then it becomes the reflection of the fault action.
Thank you. I would like to ask, you mentioned the environment and try to keep as possible a peaceful environment, a virtuous environment. And as much as I have 3 years old daughter, and she's still very small, and as much as I try to show some values at home, and we keep a certain, for example, being vegetarian or non-violence attitude, and she go out now kindergarten, I try as much as I can to choose the best, but also some part of me, I understand I cannot protect 100% like bubble from reality, especially you said non-violence. We are in Israel, so how can I see she learned things that she didn't learn at home, some bad language, some strange behavior, and it's not from home, I see. So how should I address this kind of behavior in order not to also different from her friends, or feel something is strange? Also, me being Buddhist in Israel is not very common. So how to integrate this attitude of non-violence without her feeling like she's weak or like too weak or like a victim? Attitude, like feeling like she's less than others. My English is not so well, I'm sorry, but maybe you understand.
We don't have 100% control on our children. Actually, I also have kids. I'm not a monk. I wear this white cloth, means not a monk. I have long hair. So, but I myself, I don't have much time to spend with children because I need to travel and need to teach and look after the centers, etc. But my wife is looking after the kids, teaching them, etc. So in here, it is not possible when you send children outside school, it is not possible to control 100%, but we can put effort to influence the children in a better way. The more you talk about discipline, the more you talk about good attitude, then it can have a good influence in the children. It is said, when you advise the children again and again when they are young, then they will remember such advice for a long period of time. So I think it's important to advise them, to tell them again and again, not only straightforward language, but in a skillful manner. Because if you say in a straightforward language again and again, then children might feel bored. They feel bored, but need to influence in skillful methods and skillful ways to influence them, so that even though they go out, they still remember the parents' advice or the mother's advice, so their mind can be more stable. Although they can see the different attitude, different behavior, especially the wrong behavior, wrong attitude, they can still have some kind of firm resolution in their mind. It can happen. So it is important to give advice, to influence them. I heard that there are some Tibetans who are looking after others' children who are not Buddhists. But then these mamas, these Tibetan mamas, they are Buddhists. So when they look after the non-Buddhist child, they will tell them not to kill insects, etc. So then, although these children is not a Buddhist, but because of this mama's influence, because of this mama's advice, they will avoid killing insects, or they will avoid stepping on the insects, etc. So it helps them, although they are not Buddhist, although the mama doesn't have the intention to make this child Buddhist, but it helps them to act some good actions, to do some good actions and to avoid some bad actions like killing insects, etc. So the mamas can also influence the children, although they don't believe in the Buddha, but they have these kind of good actions influenced by the mamas. So advice is one of the major role, or one of the key point that can influence the children.
Lord Buddha, I would like to ask about the situation when two sisters or one child in the family doesn't behave like our Buddhist values and the other kids do behave. For example, if only one child is full of anger or attachment, not being generous, and the other not so, I mean, the other behave more nice, more, so there is a big difference between two sisters or sister and brother. So as a mother, how can I deal with such a situation when I see one girl is like a bodhisattva and her sister is full of anger, attachment, and not generous? Without me all the time yelling or educating almost only the more problematic one, and not causing them to be not friends. I don't explain so well. I mean, if the sisters, I want them to be close friends. But if they see me as a mother, that one child is very, all the time I have to educate her and the other one not. So how can I do it without causing problem between them?
Jealousy.
Jealousy without, between them.
Thank you.
Yeah. Although from your own side, from your mother's side, you have affection, love, and care to both children, but it is obvious that you need to spend more time with the problematic children. It is obvious, but it doesn't mean that you are differentiating between these two. So if the better one is mature, then that one will know why the mother needs to spend more time on problematic. If they don't know at the moment, then at a young age, maybe they don't know, but slowly they will understand. They will know why mother has to behave like this. And I think sometimes to control anger or to control bad behavior, sometimes it's good to not only by mother's advice, but also showing other examples, by showing other good children, or sometimes taking to other places and try to know how privileged they are. Sometimes the children don't know whether they're how privileged they are, because they think all this comes naturally. And if you go to a very poor country or poor family, then they know, then they can realize, oh, we are very privileged. We have these, we take all these facilities as a granted. But actually, for some poor children, they don't have the opportunity to study, they don't have the opportunity to have a basic conditions for them to raise in a proper way. So if you see these things, then sometimes it can have an impact in the children's mind, how privileged they are, how grateful they are to their own parents and their surrounding environments. So like this and other, maybe there are other methods that can change their attitude. If children are very young, then it's very difficult to control at a very young age. But I think you need to continue your effort, then definitely it can change. Sometimes I think I heard that people are very young, when they are children, they are very active, they are very naughty. They are very naughty, but then when they become older, they become very matured. So you can't say the children will become a very bad person when they are older because they are very naughty at a young age. This is not the case. At young, when they are very, at the young age, they are very naughty, but then when they grow older, they become more mature, then will not become a bad person. So children's naughty behavior and adults' bad behavior, sometimes it doesn't have any connection. It doesn't mean that children will become a bad person in the future. So try our best to control anger through different methods, like showing the poor family or telling stories. I think telling story is a good influence for the children. Children like to listen to stories, and especially if there is a story or mother can make a story or mother can create a story, especially for the children, how anger is is producing a bad result, how anger can create a problems for oneself and others, and how anger can cause suffering, how anger can make ourselves and others unhappy, etc. So to the story sometimes can implement, because children likes to listen to the stories, and some children, they can't sleep without mother telling a story. So I think sometimes like these methods can influence, can make children more controlled children.
I have a question about attachment. I think for me it's the most problem when, as a wife and also as a mother, to deal with attachment. It's everywhere. And with my children and other children, cousins, and also with my husband, all the time that the practice and dealing with the feeling of attachment and trying to be better with this feeling, it's frustrating. Because you know, you try to make it lower and to love everybody and have compassion to every human being, children, whatever. But you, in your own family, you concentrate on your own child and to taking care of your own child first. But when you're thinking about you, well, I have to think all the children and all the human beings. And sometimes I'm feeling, you know, confused with this situation. And also about that the anger arises very quickly with the problem with the attachment with husband and wife or children, because this is my child and I expect him to behave like that as a good day. So suddenly he acts, you know, with a lot of anger or jealousy, as she said, and I feel confused. So do you think I should try to practice a
think about. Thank you. Actually, attachment is a negative thought, but it is not so severe as anger. So try not to have attachment is we ourselves has been associating with defilements or negative thoughts from beginning this time up until now. So it is not easy to remove attachment or anger in a short period of time, because we have been associating with them for many, many eons, or countless eons. So it takes time. So although we need to extend our loving kindness and compassion towards all the sentient beings without exception, but in our actual action, we cannot extend our love and compassion towards. We can extend our mental love and compassion towards everything, but our physical and verbal action cannot extend towards all the sentient beings. Not only all the sentient beings, but also not only to the all sentient beings, but also we cannot extend to all the human beings in this world. We cannot see. So physically and verbally, we cannot help infinite beings. But mentally, we can extend not only to all the human beings, but we can extend our love and compassion towards all the sentient beings without exception. So based on this positive thought, then physically and verbally, we should try to help others as much as possible. And to help others, first we can start from our own family. In the teaching, like loving kindness teaching, it says, first it is important to practice with our own mother. Mother is important. So first we try to practice our loving kindness towards mother, and then to our other family members and relatives and friends, then to our enemies, and then finally to indifferent beings. So through this step by step, we can extend our loving kindness and compassion towards all the sentient beings without any exception. So in the same manner, physically and verbally, first we should try to help, try to take care about our own children, our own family members. And then step by step, we can extend and we can help physically and verbally towards other beings as much as we can. So you should think that our family member is like the starting point to help others. Starting from family members, then we should help others. But it doesn't mean that we should be selfish. We should have selflessness, or we should have loving kindness and compassion towards all the beings. Based on this, then we should start first on looking after the welfare and well-being of our own family, and then towards others as much as we can, physically and verbally.
Hello. How do you manage to do all the things in your life, being studying, being a teacher, and having family? How do you deal with all that, with intelligent and loving? How do you do all
myself?
To be a model for us.
More sad or more suffering depends on your mind, how you handle the situation by your mind. So it's very important to train our own mind. Although I'm not a good practitioner, but it is important to train our own mind. And not only nurturing them, looking after them, but also giving teaching to them. And also we have appoint tutors for them to study, and there are people who look after, mainly by my wife, and then also look after by others. And so I think it's important to have a good environment. Like myself, we are brought up in a spiritual way, in a dharmic environment. From a young age, we are influenced by Dharma, we are influenced by spiritual tradition or Dharma tradition. So if your mind is able to challenge, if your mind is able to deal with that, then it becomes easy. If your mind cannot deal, then it becomes difficult. So I think it depends on your mind how to handle it.
The first questions I wanted to ask about detachment from results, because the Western world is so focused on results. And so first I wanted to hear your thoughts about this. And also the Tibetan book of the living and dying does not specify, maybe it wasn't within the terms, organ donation. I wanted to know what is the Buddhist thoughts about that.
Organ donation after death or when we are living?
Yeah, after death.
After death.
Yeah.
first question is the result.
My first question was detachment from results in the Western world that is so focused on everything external and results, not so much about the way of how things are being done, but so much more about whether you pick the fruits of your actions.
Actually, we believe in cause and effect. So I think we need to study the cause and effect relationship. If you do bad action, then there's a bad result. And if you do good action, then there's a good result. So through bad actions, if we can gain mundane results like fame, power, wealth, etc., then we should think that temporarily it's like a good result, but in the long term, it will harm, it will create problems and suffering. For example, we like to taste good food. That's a good result. But if there is a poisonous fruit, a tasty poisonous fruit, although when you take this, or when you bite this fruit, it is very tasty. You want to taste it, but since this is a poisonous fruit, when you taste, it's good, it's very tasty, but after tasting it, after this food reaches your stomach, then it can cause pain, suffering, problems, because poison creates these pains and sufferings. And not only that, it can even take our own dear lives. So then you feel very regret, you feel very worried because of this mistake. So similarly, try to change the present attitude, just thinking on the result, no matter whatever the way is, just think on the result, to change that manner through using this kind of example, and through knowing the cause and effect relationship through these reason and examples, we should try to change our attitude. We should try to change our way of thinking so that we are not only focused on the result itself, but also need to focus on how we get the result through this example and reasons. And and the second one is?
Yeah, the second question was, what is the Buddhist tradition thoughts of organ donation?
Oh, organ donation. Okay, okay.
Thank you.
In the Buddhist, there are many different schools. In the Mahayana, within the Mahayana, there are two, Paramitayana and Vajrayana. Paramitayana nowadays is considered, or it is called as a Mahayana, and then there's Vajrayana. Actually, Mahayana is a general name that covers both the Yanas, Paramitayana and Vajrayana. But nowadays, when we say Mahayana, it refers to the Paramitayana, then there's Vajrayana. So anyway, in the Paramitayana, I think it's okay, it's absolutely fine to give organ donations after the death. But for Vajrayana practitioners, those who are serious Vajrayana practitioners, for them it is not right to give. But for general Mahayana practitioner or Paramitayana practitioner, for them it is absolutely okay to give our organs like eyes or any other part of inner organs to others, because through that it can rescue or it can save the other's life, and it can make them see better or make them see clearly. It will help them. So it's a good practice according to the Mahayana.
I know that in everyday life I should consider and react to everything in the same way. If it's good something, if it's bad, or whatever comes. The thing is, I want to make it more specific. I have a 91-year-old mother that sometimes when I offer help, she accepts. Sometimes she doesn't. Sometimes she will ask me something, sometimes she won't. So whenever I talk to her, I get different sort of moods and questions and wishings and not wishing. And I want to know if there's anything, sort of a practice that I can do, like to put my mind in a certain place before I talk to her, so that I will be able to sort of not only listen, but to know and not to make an answer which is not correct to her situation at that point. Did I make myself clear?
So how to make your mother, please,
whatever situation she is in, sometimes like this, sometimes like this, like to have the ability to respond to whatever place she's in the right way, good for her.
Sometimes, I think when you become very old, your mind attitude changes from what you were before. So in that case, it's difficult for the younger or for the children to look after. But at the same time, one should think that no matter how he behaves from our side, as you are doing, but from our side, we should continuously look after in a good way, as you are doing, and then whether we can make Vata happy all the time or not, it's not in our own hands. It's our own karma, or it's our own way of living. So sometimes in that case, from our side, whatever we do, Mother sees in a negative way. So in such case, it is important to pray and to wish her all the best. But we cannot say Mother should not have any negative thoughts. It's her own karma. Try to influence her in a better way. That we can do, but we cannot change all her mental state. For example, when people are very suffering, when people are sick, then that sick person is surrounded by all his or her relatives. At that time, the sick person's pain, we cannot share. The relatives and family members cannot share the pains and the sickness of the patient. We cannot reduce the sickness or the suffering or the pain of the sick person by sharing with all the family members or the relatives. So at that time, we need to pray. We cannot take away the sickness or the pain completely. We don't have the power, we don't have the ability to do this. We can just pray and help in the best possible way. So similarly, in your case, we should do our best possible way to make her happy. But through this, we cannot say she will be happy all the time.
So I have maybe two questions. So one is generally, what is your suggestion for a child to practice meditation, and maybe how? And the second question is, Israel is not a Buddhist country, and my child grows in more Buddhist values, and sometimes I find some conflict that I don't want to, maybe I feel maybe I don't want to push too much with the Buddhist values, so she don't feel, when she grow up a little bit, maybe teenager, she rebel. So if she rebel, then is completely gone from Buddhism. So for me, I'm a little bit confused of how to skillfully do this. She is very interested, for example, meditation. So she do with me something, but I don't want to also make her also different from her friends in school. Everybody in Israel, well, not everybody, but many people believe in God, Creator, and she will come with different belief system. So for me, it's a little bit confusing how to bring her up as a Buddhist in a Jewish country and not to push too much so she will not rebel when she's a teenager. My worry.
First is meditation. How to teach meditation, how to teach loving kindness, compassion. as I said before, we can say we should not hurt insects, we should not hurt any animals. For example, if our own body is hurt, then we feel pain. We don't like the pain. Similarly, they also will not feel happy when you hurt them. So like this, we should not kill insects, we should not harm others. These kind of things you can say. And also, there's a Buddhist story or like a, not really, yeah, there's many Buddhist stories like Jataka tales, you know, Jataka tales.
I don't know in Hebrew, in Israel, I can find
in English?
On the internet. In English, she doesn't speak, my child.
Okay, but anyway.
I can translate.
Maybe. Yeah, you can read the English stories, the Buddhist stories, in the comics, there's comics, there many comics that tells about Buddhist stories. So you can tell them in your own language, so to child. So in these stories, it tells about how to behave better, how to do better, how to help others, I think. So through these stories, it can influence the children. And also we should think that we should tell them that we should love everybody, we should take care of everybody, we should not harm anybody. These kind of things can be teach, can be taught to the children. And also try to influence if you want to become, if you want to make this, make your own children a Buddhist, then you can influence them by taking to a spiritual event, by taking to a spiritual atmosphere, etc. Although it's difficult for you to take in this environment, but sometimes to take as much as you can in a spiritual environment.
And the second question, I'm thinking if I take, for example, for many spiritual practices, or if she's bored, or I put so much Buddhism into her mind, if she grow up, you know, that she feel like rebellious.
She'll become Jewish, then a big problem.
So for me, it's a little bit scary.
Actually, we Buddhists, we don't convert from other religion to Buddhists.
Yeah,
it's a people's choice. Whatever school they want to join, whatever religion they want to join, they can join, they have the right to join. So if your own children, you want to make the children Buddhist, then in a skillful way, just as I mentioned, you can bring her in a Buddhist atmosphere, Buddhist, and if you go to other countries like India, then you can take to the temples, you can take to the other holy places, etc. And also, I think at a young age, you shouldn't push too much. If you push too much, then your children can get fed up with the Dharma. I heard before that one father checked his son, quite old, like teenage or older, to a teaching. And that teaching lasts for many, many hours, very long teaching. Then first teaching was very long, many hours. Because of that, then I think the son was kind of fed up with the Buddhist. So it can happen like that. So we should not push too much. Slowly, slowly, step by step, try to influence.
Rinpoche, thank you very much for this wonderful evening, and for giving your advice. Thank you for coming for Israel. See you tomorrow in Innovation Home.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
So at the end, we should dedicate all our medals to gain happiness, to remove sufferings, especially to make this country a peaceful country, and also to make this whole world a peaceful country, to liberate all the beings from the samsara, and to gain Buddhahood. So with this in mind, then I will do a short dedication prayer. You can just imagine that you are doing a proper dedication. Proper dedication, in short, it means dedicate all our merits to attain Buddhahood for the sake of all the beings. So
Sanbo